Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates, sitting in for Pastor Jonathan Fisk. It is time for Historically Speaking. In studio with me today, Todd Zitlow. He's an archivist at Concordia Historical Institute. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
Good to have you in studio. You have brought something historical to talk about today.
I did. I didn't bring any show and tell, though.
Anytime you talk, it's historical.
At least it comes historical right away.
Not sure how to take that, huh? How you been?
Good, yes. What we're going to talk about today is pre-Reformation. As I've gone through my work at CHI, I've run across a couple of references to groups prior to the Reformation, and I had never heard of these groups, and I wondered if any of the listeners might have ever heard of them. In fact, I was going to test you a little before we were on the air. Who do you know that happened Reformation-wise prior to Martin Luther?
Jan Hus, or John Hus. Which is he was pre-Reformation. He was burned at the stake too. Wasn't
he was, yeah.
He,
which is unfortunately the consequence or the result for a lot of Reformation folks, and Luther himself, I think, just escaped because he had good political support around him, and they protected him.
Those who followed John Hus were what, the Hussites? Is that right?
Hussites.
And then we get the Moravians. Is that right?
I think. Oh man, you're going to test me.
I'm digging
out on
in.
That. I'm not going with the Hussites today.
Okay.
There's actually groups prior to Jan Hus, or reformers prior to Jan Hus. One is Savonarola, and I don't know a lot about him either.
Savon sounds sounds European. Spain or Italy?
I think it's Spain. Yeah, Savonarola, but it's one word. One name,
Savonarola.
Yeah,
okay.
But this goes back before Savonarola also, and that is a guy named Peter Waldo. And the movement that's related to him is called the Waldensians. Although when I researched some of the record, there's a little debate as to whether they were actually named after Peter Waldo or if the name Waldensian predates Waldo. There's some evidence that the term Waldensian predates the life of Peter Waldo, which would obviously say he wasn't the founding member of it. But there's not a lot of good evidence out there. They didn't do a lot of writing, and there's not a lot of extant materials relating to it. But why did this come to my attention is when I was working through the Martin Charlemagne collection, Reverend Dr. Martin Charlemagne, who was on the faculty of Concordia Seminary for 20 to 30 years in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and just, I think, on the edge of the 80s. He, as I was working through his collection and organizing it and getting it described so that researchers can work through it, I found in his paperwork a small treatise titled I Meet the Waldensians. And I'd never heard of who these folks were. Well, Dr. Charlemagne, when he was a military chaplain in World War II, and his unit was stationed in Italy after Italy fell to the Allies and the occupying military force was there in country, and Charlemagne was with his unit there. And somehow he was interacting with the local population, which I'm sure is a part of the military strategy, is to connect to the local people. And he discovered this group of Protestants called the Waldensians, and they had no pastoral support that was present at the time. I'm not sure if, probably hard to get support for the Waldensians. I'm not sure, but with the war, it probably was part of it. Anyway, he agreed that he would pastor them for the year that he was going to be stationed there in Italy, and he got permission from his superiors to do that. Of course, they spoke Italian, and Martin Charlemagne didn't know Italian, but he spent the next 2 weeks learning Italian and started preaching 2 weeks later in Italian. So there's a whole series of one year's worth of sermons written by Dr. Charlemagne in Italian, handwritten sermons in Italian that he preached to the Waldensians. Well, when I started looking into this, it's a movement that was late 12th century, early 13th century. So nearly 200 years, around 200 years prior to Martin Luther. And this layman, Peter Waldo, wanted to revitalize the preaching. He had a personally powerful moment in his life where he recognized his own frailty, his own
mortality,
exactly, and decided that he needed to do something more significant with his life, and that was preaching the gospel. And he motivated lay people to start preaching the gospel. They sent out people like the 72 in the New Testament and 2x2, and the movement lingers today. It's still around. I mean, obviously Martin Charlemagne served a group of them in World War II, and there's a Waldensian society in America. So a small lingering group that hails to this pre-Reformation time, and does have connections, at least these tangential connections, to the Missouri Synod. So kind of a fascinating, for me, fascinating movement. To me, it speaks a bit about the atmosphere. I mean, I can't push this very hard, but a bit about the atmosphere that Luther walked into, in terms of, you know, that there was some unease about the nature of the Roman Church, even at that time, that you would have these different voices rising up from time to time in opposition. You know, Luther was not the only one that felt like there was some reform that was necessary. And so you have these various guys, and in Luther's case, he was given protection. And so he survived, and the printing press was available, so he was able to promulgate his message more fully, and the Reformation took hold in ways that it couldn't prior to that.
Well, thank you for now sending me on a Google rabbit trail the rest of the day.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Fascinating.
Yeah. There's one more connection, actually, to the LCMS. I didn't spend a lot of time, so there's probably others. In fact, I'm curious, like, there would be no way to probably prove this, but I'm curious if the second connection here is actually related to Charlemagne's awareness, even, of the Waldensian, because Theodor Grebner, another one of the early church professors in the Synod, wrote a small book called The Light of the World. And in there, he's highlighting lay people who have lived out their faith in influential ways, I suppose, important ways. It's always, to me, a little dicey when you start lifting up individual people's lives. It seems like it can marginalize those who are faithfully going about their lives in their own corner, and I don't find those as any less faithful as anyone else's. But he does lift up these handful. It's probably about a dozen that are in this book that he highlights, and one of them is Peter Waldo. And this is a book that was early 1900s, so it would have been when Charlemagne was a young man, a kid, growing up, and I just wonder if he maybe read that book or was aware of that book when he was younger and became aware of the Waldensians, and then when he got to Italy in the military, he didn't have to contextualize the Waldensians. He was aware of them because of this book that one of the Missouri Synod members had written prior to that time.
So very interesting. Now, of course, when you look up Waldensian, the first thing that comes up is Wikipedia, but there are a ton of resources. How have I never heard of the Waldensians before?
Well, they're very tiny. I mean, it is very tiny. And, you know, when you start looking closely at American culture and global culture, there are so many subgroups and sub-movements. Mm-hmm. It just, you know, there's no way to learn them all.
Primarily in Italy, Europe, and South America.
That's what you're reading there, yeah.
Two places I've not been.
Yeah, so, how could you know? Yeah.
That would make sense.
And even their presence in those places, I think, is still pretty marginalized, you know. So I'm not even sure, you know, how they find people to serve them as pastors, or if they just raise them up out of their midst as a layman, which would hearken back to their origins, probably.
Waldensians. And you mentioned Savonarola.
Yeah.
Anything else about Savonarola, nothing?
And I've only come across Savonarola in the recent time, too, so I don't have a lot about that. But the connection here, of course, is that in the year of the Reformation here, this celebration of the Reformation, and you go to the website LutheranReformation.org, which is the Synod's Reformation website, and has all kinds of great resources on there. Some of them were developed by Concordia Historical Institute. Dr. Harmelink put together the Faces of the Reformation. He had some help with that as well. But Faces of the Reformation series, that's available on that website. Anyway, so it brings to mind this a growing awareness, hopefully, of the Reformation period, the Reformation movement, and part of that is the precursors to the Reformation. And you know, there is all, you know, the thing about history is there's always more to learn. It's always more complicated, more in depth, broader than the popular view can be. Of course, how can we hold any more in our head? We can't.
So perhaps sometimes when we think about the Reformation, we focus so much on that specific Reformation era and not looking back a little bit further at the pre-Reformation and what was happening. When we look at what was happening prior to the Reformation, we focus on what was happening in the Roman Church and not some of those other pre-Reformation activities. This is very helpful.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, you know, one of the challenges, I think, and I'm not a particular historian, but one of the challenges, I think, for history is how do you enter into the river, so to speak, mm-hmm. And not be kind of falsely painting the picture. I mean, we hard date this, you know, Reformation in 1517, October of 1517, and we kind of put that hard stone on there and we mark it as a hard date. But there's mm-hmm. events that happened prior to that. And you know, that even choosing that date, you know, there was no like God moment that said choose this date, you know. So you know, it's a human kind of interaction with history that chose that date, and it's perfectly fine. I mean, it's perfectly fine. But you find this even kind of go off on a track here, but you find this even in congregational histories. In some cases, they're trying to decide how long have they been around, and they can't pinpoint a single date that really indicates the start of the congregation, because they were maybe a mission plant and they were served by a itinerant pastor who had come in from time to time, but there was no actual church. There was just a group of people gathering. Eventually they formed a church and they eventually ratified a constitution, and you'd have a date for that, but obviously there was activity prior to that date. And then they later joined the synod, you know, and so is that the date that they would acknowledge? So, you know, there's always this a little bit of complexity.
Kind of the same way God looks at time. He sees it so differently than we do. We look at it from, you know, past, present, and future, but he sees it all.
Yeah, which I'm not even going there. Run from the hidden God and flee to the revealed God. That's what Luther would tell
According
us.
According to the American Waldensian Society, they are referencing back to Waldo of Lyons, from whom the church's name originates. 1140 to 1217 was his lifetime.
So, very early.
Yeah. The same time period as St. Francis of Assisi.
Yeah. They lay hold to Peter Waldo as the founder. There is some evidence in another source that seems to imply that the term Waldensian existed prior to Waldo's life. But the evidence is pretty thin. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot out there. So, but there's not any question that he lived and that this movement is a real movement and there's still people in it today.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to go look for a book on this.
Wow. I don't know if there's a total book on it. You could come over to CHI and we could give you this Light of the World and you can read what Grebner has to say about the Waldensians, but it's not.
How long of a piece was that? How long was his?
3 pages.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Real quick. There's other people in that book that are kind of interesting. In fact, I didn't read about it, but John Pierpont Morgan is in that book as a layman who, you know, lived out his faith in a public way. And he's not a name that I would have associated with the church right off.
So. It'd be interesting to have someone translate his sermons that were in Italian.
It would. Yeah, I think it would actually, I mean, you know, who knows where the studies will go in the future. I mean, Charlemagne obviously had a central role to play in the controversial times at the seminary in the 60s and 70s, and he had his own controversy in the late 50s where he presented some papers that raised some questions, and he withdrew those papers. So I think it could be interesting for a lot of reasons. One, mm-hmm. How did he go about interacting with them? Does he reference their own history? But also his theology at that time. You know, how did he articulate his beliefs and his thinking at a time very early in his career? He was still a young guy in the military early on. And I think it could be telling in terms of how he started formulating. This would have been before his advanced studies, his PhD and things like that. But who knows? It's translation takes time, and good quality ones. You have to have a good quality translator and someone who understands the nuance of the language, and it can be a tough challenge.
Certainly, and of that time period as well. We have just about a half a minute left. Anything else that... you want to dig into today as we wrap up?
Nope, that's it. We're just celebrating the Reformation, and CHI, of course, has their ongoing museum over at the seminary campus on the coins and medals of the Reformation, certainly pressed into service. Come on out during Monday to Friday 8 to 4 and see that museum, and go to LutheranReformation.org for some great resources on the Reformation. And congratulations to KFUO on its fourth anniversary in this building. I heard you celebrating four years here.
That's right. Yeah, just this past week, we've been here at the IC for 4 years. Well, thanks so much, Todd.
Yep,
great to
welcome.
Talk with you.
Thanks.
And now I'm going to go read the rest of the day. Coming up in just a little bit, more His Time, including morning prayer, right here on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide KFUO.